This is Cedric Forster reporting to you from the Mutual Newsroom in Washington. Mutual is your radio news network for complete coverage of all important world events, and when you want to know what's going on, when and where, almost as it happens, stay tuned to your Mutual station. Now the news. The House Appropriations Committee has voted to give President Eisenhower authority to spend next year's money right now. The action is without precedent. It was taken in order to stimulate business and to bring the nation out of the economic doldrums. The president wants to spend up to $840 million, but the committee said that he won't be able to spend more than $200 million. The resolution passed by the committee would allow the president to spend up to 50% of the amounts in the 1959 fiscal year budget, set aside for supplies and materials and equipment, in the remaining 3 months of the present fiscal year. Labor Secretary Mitchell says the Democratic jobless pay proposals are discriminatory. He wants quick action on the president's plan for continuing existing benefits for a longer time. He appeared before the House Ways and Means Committee today. Walter Reuther told the Senate Rackets Committee today they should allow Governor Soapy Williams from the state of Michigan to speak for himself in the case of John Guanaca. He's a Detroit bartender. The governor has refused to permit extradition of the man to Wisconsin to stand trial for an alleged assault on a union worker which caused the death of the worker. Reuther said that he believed Guanaca should be sent back to Wisconsin without a day's delay, but he said the governor is competent to judge the case and it's up to him. The president and Mrs. Eisenhower are going to spend a weekend at the Gettysburg Farm for the first time since January. He won't leave until his grandchildren are out of school this afternoon, and he's going to take two of them with him. The president received five Republican senators today, Aiken and Allet, Carlson, Munt, and Young, discussing the price support freezing farm bill. There have been reports that he would veto it. Senator Young of North Dakota said the president was a good listener, but no commitments were offered or given. The senators want the president to sign the bill, but if he does that, he will repudiate his Secretary of Agriculture. The House Appropriations Committee approved today a $750,000 appropriation for the Civil Rights Commission. The Liberal Party in England has won its first by-election in 29 years, whipping the Conservatives and the Labourites in Torrington. Crown Prince Faisal of Saudi Arabia has pulled the rug out from underneath Jordan, according to Cairo, by ending a $14 million subsidy. American military aid program in Yugoslavia comes to an official end. It's all over today. The Volkswagen factory workers in West Germany staged a one-hour strike protesting against arming German troops with nuclear weapons. The Vatican Radio said today on Khrushchev's premiership in Moscow, Stalin has his successor. Those are today's headlines. I'll have my commentary on the news after this word from your announcer.
America has been growing and changing at an astonishing rate. And every one of these changes opens up new opportunities. This means that whatever you make, whatever goods or services you or your employer sell, the public now has greater power to buy. Our population is expanding tremendously. Births in 1956 were the highest ever. By 1960... our population will be close to 180 million. This brings ever-increasing demands for homes and everything Americans eat, wear, and enjoy. Tremendous needs in every field. New suburban communities have sprung up all over the United States. 83% of the net growth since 1950 took place in suburban areas. And each suburb needs scores of new shops and service businesses, to say nothing of houses, streets, and schools. We've more leisure and travel time. Over 40 million Americans have paid vacations. Total vacation weeks doubled in 10 years. This has brought broad highway improvement programs and a big demand for highway restaurants and shops, a boon to hotel and travel business, to sports, hobby entertainment fields. Look into America's future and you can see your own. Write to Box 1776, Grand Central Station, New York, 17, New York, for your free copy of The Future of America. This message brought to you as a public service.
This is Cedric Forster in Washington with my commentary on the news. The reaction to the momentous announcement of yesterday that Nikita Khrushchev has finally reached the top of the ladder in the Soviet Union By concentrating the power of state and the power of party in himself alone, is now coming in from the Western world. The consensus bodes no particular good for the free world. The opinion was voiced in the United Kingdom that Nikita Khrushchev might become even more powerful than Stalin, the man denounced by Khrushchev for doing the same thing that Nikita accomplished yesterday. The London Times believes that it's possible that the reshuffle may not be complete. It feels that Voroshilov cannot last for long as president of the Soviet Presidium, and it suggested that Bulganin might be an obvious candidate as a figurehead. It even suggested that Khrushchev's premiership might be temporary, merely to give him greater power and authority when he spoke as Russian representative at a summit meeting. The comment was made, "In all of this change, we are seeing not only struggles for power and differences of policy, but the end of one generation and the emergence of another." The Manchester Guardian declared, "Mild though the measure is, compared with those taken against Zhukov, Malenkov, Molotov, it cuts one more hole in the tatters of collective leadership. The history of autocrats shows time and again that they are moved away from prudence by the exercise of power and the constant endeavor to preserve it. Mr. Khrushchev may come to stand out for darker characteristics than knowing how to keep afloat." Comment from the London Daily Mirror was to the effect that the democratic peoples in the end are going to correctly assess how and why the changes were made in the Soviet Union. But in the last analysis, the switch in power is one that concerns the Soviet Union and not the Western world. The Mirror said, "What matters for the West is simply this. We must try to get on reasonable terms with the Soviet Union, no matter who is running the country." The London Daily Express, that's a right-wing paper, said the cult of personality has returned to the Soviet Union, and it added, "The summit assumes a new importance. Summit talks will, without question, now take place." The Liberal News Chronicle declared, "What is obvious is that this man, who combines the personality of an extrovert, who combines that with the cunning born of years of intrigue and the murderous politics of the totalitarian state, is an immensely formidable opponent." The comment was made in the News Chronicle that Khrushchev is larger than life. He is disarming, and he could therefore be even more dangerous than Stalin. The London Daily Mail, a conservative paper, said today, "Khrushchev has knocked down Bulganin. He's beaten the bureaucrats, the army, and the party. Any means, however wicked or brutal, must be employed to subjugate the world to Marxism. And this is the man who faces us now, in some ways more ominous than Stalin." The tabloid conservative London Daily Sketch declared, "Khrushchev's following in the discredited master's footsteps forces us to take another long look at Russia's proposal for summit talks." The conservative Yorkshire Post today made what could well be termed the understatement of the year. It said laconically, "What has really happened is a concentration of power." So much for the British comment today. Rome, the correspondent for the Italian Communist Party newspaper, L'Unità, attributed Khrushchev's rise to power to his agricultural policy. In Germany, the pro-government General Anzeiger saw Khrushchev as a new czar and had viewed with gravity the return of one-man rule in the Soviet Union. This pattern of government, it was felt, could be extended into other Eastern European nations, and it could have dire consequences for Western Germany in its relation with the East. I'll continue this commentary after this word from your announcer.
Are you waiting for radar-equipped brakes on your car to prevent traffic accidents? Well, don't. They've been tried, and they still don't replace a careful driver. Recently in Detroit, an automatic brake control system was tried on a car driving through the city streets. These automatic brakes almost drove the test driver right out of his mind. The electronic brakes worked fine on a straight line, but just couldn't cope with city traffic. For example, if another car cut in front of this specially equipped automobile, the automatic brakes would go to work, even if a third car might be close behind. The device wouldn't work if a child ran in front of the car suddenly, or if two cars approached at right angles in an intersection. No, the human mind is still the best device yet developed for safe driving. The National Safety Council says, don't wait for the future to solve today's traffic problems. Back the attack on traffic accidents with cautious and careful driving. And now back to Cedric Foster and the news.
In both West Germany and the United Kingdom, there is news of real import to the Western world today. There was a parliamentary by-election in Torrington, England. When the votes were counted for a second time, the British Liberal Party, which has been in a state of somnolence for the last two decades or more, awakened to find itself a winner for the first time in 29 years. Its margin of victory was only 219 votes, but these were enough to put publisher Mark Bonham Carter in the House of Commons as the sixth Liberal member. Bonham Carter has a fine Liberal tradition. He's the son of a truly great mother, Lady Violet Bonham Carter, and through his mother, he's the grandson of Britain's wartime World War No. 1 Premier Herbert Asquith, who later became Earl of Oxford and Asquith, thus a candidate who was middle of the road to sweep the Conservatives and the Labour rights. It's been a long time since the Liberal Party dominated the headlines in a British election. The victory at Torrington was the third defeat the Macmillan government has taken in a by-election in the last 2 months. The Liberal victory, however, was not a surprise. It had been forecast freely by political experts. Many persons, as a matter of fact, thought that the Liberals would win handily instead of just squeaking through. The danger to the Macmillan government, however, is that the Liberals, if they continue to seek seats, and they probably will, in the Commons in future elections, the Liberals could so split the vote that Labour would win hands down. The Liberal intervened, you'll recall, in the Rochdale election, and he got twice as many votes as the Conservatives, and the Labourite candidate emerged as the victor. The reasons for the Conservative defeats are many. Not the least is the opposition to the government's policy. On the overall picture of the atomic and nuclear age in which we live, there is fear of instant destruction, and this is quite understandable in the British Isles, and it has struck deep into many British hearts. There are many who argue that if the Conservatives are not to be swept to defeat in a general election, then an anti-socialist pact must be made between the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party. Fear of nuclear weapons has also struck very deeply into West German hearts also, and the news from Bonn today indicates that Erich Ollenhauer, who is a socialist leader, is developing an increasingly larger following day by day. The Volkswagen plant today struck in a swift one-hour strike as a protest against giving nuclear weapons to the German army. That's my commentary for today.
Will you and your family walk to church this Palm Sunday? Whether you ride in a car, take a bus, or walk, will you give one thought to some other parents, some other children, the crippled? For this Saturday is proclaimed Crippled Children's Day across the country. Many of them may be right in your church, and many of them will not be in church because they cannot move from a bed or a wheelchair. But you can help them rise and walk again. Yes, you can help through your contribution to Easter Seals. You see, the Easter Seals you use help support the Easter Seal Center, where crippled children may learn to walk, to talk, to be whole again. So if you haven't sent your contribution, why don't you do so today? Just address to Crippled Children, care of your local post office. That's Crippled Children, in care of your local post office. This message is brought to you as a public service.
This is Cedric Foster reporting to you from the Mutual Newsroom in Washington. I'll be back with you Monday of next week at the same time.
This is Mutual, the world's largest network.